The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and the scribes began to complain, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them Jesus addressed this parable. A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the young son collected all of his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck the country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods that were fed to the swines, but nobody gave him anything. Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough to eat? But here I am, starving from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.' So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long ways off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But his father ordered his servants, 'Quick, bring the finest robe, put a ring on his finger, and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' Then the celebration began. Now, the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, 'Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf, and because he has him back safe and sound.' He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, 'Look, all these years I have served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes. For him you slaughtered the fattened calf.' He said to him, 'My son, you are here always with me. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
The parable that Jesus tells us today is probably his most famous. It tells us some very interesting stuff about God the Father and what he is like. First, note that the Greek allows us to translate the son's request like this, rather than what we just heard. "Father, give to me the share of my estate that should come to me." First of all, this is shockingly insulting language, especially for that time and place, because what the younger son was saying was, Why don't you hurry up and die? Even in our own generation, you get inheritance, if there is any, after the death of your parents. The son says, I can't wait for that. It's very deeply insulting to his father. Notice also that in that one line, three times he emphasizes me. The thing is, God's being is forgiving and forgiving, meant in a double sense. He gives away. God is love. To love is to will the good of the other. The sinful consciousness is the one that looks inward. Me, mine, my prerogatives. The younger son shows here that he just doesn't get the dynamic of his father's life. But amazingly, the father, respecting his son's freedom, acquiesces and divides the property between them. Then we hear that the younger son goes out to a distant country, it says in English, but the Greek is kora makra. Makra means big in Greek, and kora means empty. The big empty space. That's where the young son went. As long as the link to God who is giving, who is the source of life, is connected, we are really willing to receive the gift that God gives us. And then we have life and life to the full. What happens, though, when we sever that link and we say, let me have the divine life as my own possession to use for myself only? What happens by a kind of inevitable spiritual momentum is we lose that life. God's life exists only in gift form. That means when you receive it as a gift from God, you must then give it, share it, as a gift with others. When you do that, it increases within you. That's the spiritual momentum. What goes wrong is when you say, I will receive the divine life and I will make it mine to do with as I please and I will make up the rules. Then you wander indeed into the kora makra, into the big empty space. As in the story where it says, there he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. He lost everything. So it goes when we live in the space of the ego and outside of the space of God's life-giving love. And then we hear that a famine struck that country. Famine is a spiritual symbol. Lifelessness, dryness happens when we are cut off from the divine life. It generates hunger in the younger son, and then he realizes that even his father's slaves have more than enough to eat. Even the lowliest level figure who are attached to the divine life, they have more than they need. So the son decides to return to his father, even if he has to act as a slave or a servant. This is like the famous two standards of Saint Ignatius of Loyola. He once mused that the devil will offer you the biggest job possible in his empire, a field marshal in his army. Well, who cares? Christ might make you the cleaner of latrines in his army. Take that job. The son in the story realizes that he'll take the lowest position in the land of plenty over the highest position in the kora makra. So he gets up and starts for his father's house. And then we hear that wonderful detail of the father seeing him from a long way off and being moved to pity. It means that while the son was wandering in the kora makra, all this time the father was hoping, waiting, keeping his eyes open for that son to return. See, that's our God. He hates our sin, but never us. He hates our sin because it makes us less alive. But God is not like an accountant, noting every sin as it piles up, just waiting to indict us at the opportune moment. He's more like this father in the gospel, watching for us, hoping that we will decide for him. In the account, the father runs to his son to greet him. In the ancient world, in Jesus' time and place, a patriarch, an elderly man especially, a father or grandfather, would sit in his place of honor, and then people would come to him and pay him homage. There was a proverb of Jesus' time, an old man's cloak should never move. In other words, he doesn't walk or run to you, you walk or run to him. But this father throws caution and respectability to the wind and comes running in public after his son. If you want, humiliating himself before the son who had humiliated him. Now, in our day, an analogous situation would be if the governor would ride his tricycle to work every day through the streets of Denver. You know, squeak, 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 squeak. People would look at that and say, that's odd. That catches the dynamic in the relationship between us and God. We've all wandered into the Kora Matra in some way. We've insulted our Father. We've said, give me my share coming to me. Nevertheless, God will run to us when we are sorry, even when we've humiliated him. The father then dresses his son up with shoes and rings and clean, fine clothes, reminding him of his nobility. Every one of us created by God, redeemed by Christ, baptized into his church, we all have that same nobility. Now, we can wander off into the Kora Matra. We can throw away our beautiful dress and sandals and ring. But the Father restores them to us if we return. The ring is symbolic of a wedding ring, reminding us of the marriage between Christ and the church. The fine clothing is symbolic of the white robe that we received at baptism, evoking the dignity of sons and daughters. The party is symbolic of how happy God is to have us back and hearkens to a future banquet in heaven. But then there is the older son who resents what's going on. The father comes out to him too, since the older son refuses to come into the feast. And he begs him to come into the party. And once again, this is a social faux pas. You do not beg your son to do anything. You tell him what to do. But the older son reminds the father of how faithful he has been, even referring to it as slavery to his father. The younger son is all right with coming back, even if he has to be a slave. And the older son says, I've been a slave all these years. Again, what is the proper dynamic? That God gives, we receive, and we give back. And in that loop of grace, we come to life. The younger son tried to grab the divine life. The older son treats the divine life not as a gift, but as something that he has to slave for. It's like reminding God how hard we've worked to do good and avoid evil in this life. So now he owes me. The thing is, living as God wants us to live causes in us a peace and a joy, a blessed, meaningful life. Both the older son and the younger son miss the dynamic of their father. The father's response to the older son says this, everything I have is yours. Don't you get it? All you have to do is open yourself to the divine life and it will flow into you. And then once you get it, give it away. Then it increases 30 or 60 or 100 fold. But what you don't do is either grab it and make it your own little possession or think that you have to act like a slave to get it. In either case, you're going to miss the dynamic of the father. The question remains, will the older son let himself be found too and rejoice with the others? The picture of God painted by the gospel today may be challenging to some. It certainly was challenging to those who first heard this story. But it challenges us too. How vulnerable and open are you willing to be with God? Are you willing to drop all your defenses in front of Him and allow Him to fill you with His divine life? And then, are you willing to share that with the world?